We have some exciting news for the Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson podcast presented by We the Patriots USA. We are now expanding to 2 days a week. So if you're listening to this right now on Friday, that's because we are regularly going to be releasing on not just Wednesday, but also on Fridays here for the Faithful Freedom podcast. And we couldn't do this without you. You guys that are supporting us over at wethepatriotsusa.org, making those donations, those monthly contributions, that helps to power the education arm of We the Patriots USA. So now we are a podcast network. We have Kristen Megan's Vets and Visionaries podcast that has also debuted this week. It's a big week here for We the Patriots USA. So now we're going to have 3 days a week of podcast. Kristen Megan's on Monday and then Faithful Freedom on Wednesday and Friday. Today, we are bringing on two parents from the Caldwell, Idaho area that just so happen to be the co-founders here of We the Patriots USA. This board meeting that happened on January 9th in the Caldwell School District made national news. It was chaotic. It was tumultuous. There were senators there. There were parents there speaking on the trans agenda that they were trying to bring forth with policy 3281 there in the Caldwell School District. This is happening all over the U.S., but this this made headlines there in Caldwell. They're proposing that students can share and use the bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice, and that teachers and administrators have to use those preferred pronouns. Brian Festa, co-founder here of We the Patriots USA, Don Jolly, they were both there. Brian is a parent in the Caldwell School District. He got to make a make remarks there at the meeting. So we're going to play those, and then we'll hear from Don and Brian on the other side on how that meeting went down and what has transpired since.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I am a civil rights and constitutional law attorney. I am the co-founder and vice president of We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit public interest law firm that is now headquartered in Caldwell. We file lawsuits against those enacting policies, mandates, and laws that are unconstitutional. We have lawsuits from New York to California. We are now headquartered, as I said, here in Idaho. And if any of you board members would like more information about my organization, our organization, you can go to wethepatriotsusa.org and find out more how you can support our efforts if you'd like to, or even make a donation. Yep. I appreciate the time, sir. Now, here's the main problem that I have with this policy. And I'm here speaking not to you as an attorney. I am here speaking to you as a parent of a student in the Caldwell School District. This policy seeks to present a religion, a religious view that is in opposition to my family's religious viewpoints. We teach our children that a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, and that God created only two of them, male and female created he them. Okay, that is what we teach our children. But if you have a teacher so much as saying, never mind the bathroom or locker room issue, if you have a teacher so much as saying to another student in the classroom, not my son even, another student, that is a girl, we're gonna call that boy by a girl's name and a girl's pronoun. What you are doing is you are now teaching him a religious belief that is in opposition to my own religious beliefs, my family's religious beliefs. Okay, just as if you said to a student sitting next to my son that Jesus is not the Son of God. That would not be allowed. That is an opposing religious belief. So this is a government-sponsored religion that is being imposed in the classroom. Even if it's not said directly to my son, if it is said in his presence, you are teaching him something that is the opposite of my family's religious beliefs. This policy violates the free exercise of religion clause of the First Amendment, as well as the establishment of religion clause of the First Amendment. And it also violates the free speech clause, not this policy necessarily, but policy number 4105. because you're seeking to further restrict the ability of these people to speak at your meetings. There's a lot of things that are in that policy that violate the First Amendment. So thank you.
Thank you for your input. We appreciate it.
All right, Brian and Dawn are joining us. Brian, you just got to, we heard your speech, so we'll come to you and ask you. I want to ask you specifically too about those legal points that you brought up. But Dawn, what was it like? You were in the room. What was the reaction like from everyone in the room to Brian's speech? His back was turned to the audience. So what were you feeling from all of that?
So it was pretty interesting. When we got there, there was already a pretty long line, even hours prior to the meeting starting. They only expected maybe 20 people to show up. They said usually 3, 4, 5 people show up to these meetings. We've heard estimates as high as 1,200 people showed up to this. Yeah, I spoke with a police officer afterwards, and he said he's never seen anything like this in Caldwell ever before, even with the most controversial things that have transpired in the past, nothing even close to this. And of course, they can't speak and say what they really think, but it seemed as though most of them were on our side, but they have to remain neutral, right? But the energy was pretty crazy of the entire evening, just in general, because I would say, if I had to guess, I didn't personally speak to every single person that was there, but I would say probably 95% of people were on our side. And then there were a handful of people who, you know, felt very differently and have very different value system than we do. So that was very interesting. I think by the time Brian got a chance to speak, because I think what you were number 20, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So my daughter was there as well, my teenage daughter, and she was number 17. I was number 18. And Brian was supposed to be after us. We weren't allowed to speak because she's not a student in the district. We live in a different district that's nearby, and she's homeschooled anyway. And therefore, I, even though I'm a business owner in Caldwell, because we are, you know, headquartered there now, I wasn't given a chance to speak either. So it skipped over to Brian. So I think by the time he had a chance to speak, people were very pent up because only a few people had spoken by that point, because they skipped over most of those numbers because a lot of other people weren't in the district either. And only a few people had spoken, most of which were on our side, but it was very evident for the two people that were on the opposing side. When they spoke, people were just, you could feel the tension in the room, and people just wanted to like scream out and say, that's not true. And that's not the case. And, you know, so people were trying to behave because the chair kept on pounding her gavel and treating us like disobedient children in the room. That tone was set from the very beginning. So I think people were frustrated already. And when Brian started speaking, there was a lot of clapping and, you know, some whistling and some amens, and people were definitely very passionate about what Brian had to say and in total agreement, with the exception of the few people in the room that were on the opposing, you know, from the opposing viewpoint. So we got in a lot of trouble for that, because you're not supposed to speak out. You can't say amen. You can't clap. You can't even do jazz hands or anything like that. They were quite frustrated with us. So I thought Brian was going to be the one to get us shut down, but it ended up being the senator who spoke a little bit later that actually got the meeting shut down. But I thought Brian was definitely in the running for getting us shut down, even though he did nothing wrong. He was just speaking the truth, right? But they were very, very upset, because that's not their truth. The truth is not their truth, and they can't accept it. So it was pretty interesting to watch everyone else. And they were like, yeah, go Brian. You know, they were super excited. And we probably gave out a box of business cards in like the 15 minutes that followed that.
Good. Yeah. Because now, for those that don't know, We the Patriots USA is headquartered there in Idaho in the Caldwell area. Brian, you know, you've given so many speeches, you know, standing up for people's rights, standing up for religious freedom over, you know, years and years. But what was it like to give this speech on as a parent, you know, there in the school district with your children that go to the school there?
Well, obviously it was emotional for me. That was my voice cracking at the beginning. I was actually laughing at myself because I hate that part in the clip, but I was laughing at myself because I was suggesting that they support us financially, which obviously these people are going to do.
That was the best marketing plug I've ever seen in my entire life.
That was funny, but to your point there on that, Brian, I mean, you and Dawn, you just said it. You felt like the majority of the people, also the school board members, likely on your side, the majority of the members too? No.
Not the school board members.
Gotcha. I mean, it's possible there's one. I've heard that there's one person who has more conservative Christian values, but is afraid to speak up because he's outnumbered or she's outnumbered. I'm not exactly sure who it is, but I've heard rumors of that. But yeah, the vast majority of the board is fully on board with this. It was personal for me because I do have a child in the district. I said I was there speaking as a parent. We the Patriots USA, being a 501c3 organization, we cannot get involved in a substantial amount of lobbying. So I was, careful to point out that, the organization is not lobbying against this, although we obviously are against these kinds of policies. We're not, doing any kind of, official political lobbying here. But there's nothing stopping me as a parent from doing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping me as a private citizen, because I still am a resident of Caldwell. I'm in the school district. My son's in the school district. My son has special needs. For those of you who have heard my story, he's, vaccine injured. And this is a big problem for us because that extends way beyond locker rooms and restrooms. So I wrote a blog post the other day. It's up on our website now, called Identity Crisis, the New Religion of Transgenderism in Public Schools, which speaks not just to the issue in Caldwell, but across the whole United States, because obviously this is happening everywhere, right? It's not just mm-hmm. happening in Idaho. It's already been happening for years in what are, obviously called the blue states. And then, but even in these so-called red states, more conservative states, we're seeing it all the time now. It's everywhere. You can't escape it. I don't care if it's Idaho or Tennessee or Florida or Texas. It's everywhere. And that's what's so concerning to me about this, because this is truly, as I said in that speech there, the institution of a state-sponsored religion. What I mean by state, you're saying, well, the Board of Education isn't a state. No. In legal terms, state means any government actor, any government body, whether it's local government, the state, or federal. A state actor here is imposing an opposing religious belief on my child by teaching it in the classroom. You say, well, they're not teaching it. Well, yes, they are. Because it doesn't matter whether this is sex ed, just like we saw from Brian Rucca. Remember when you interviewed mm-hmm. him and that case that we were hoping to take on, but unfortunately weren't able to because he moved out of state. But when he fought against the transgender curriculum in his son's school in Boston, it was the same thing. Oh, it was English class. So they said, well, it's not sex ed. Well, it doesn't matter. You're in English class and you're telling them it's okay for a boy to come out as non-binary. Well, that shouldn't even be in the story. That shouldn't even be in the curriculum. And here, my point was, even if my son is just sitting next to a classmate and that teacher refers to a female classmate as a boy or vice versa, right? That is teaching an opposing faith. Because our faith as Catholics, as Christians, says that there's only two sexes. There's only two genders. There's male and female. That's it. And you don't get to switch. One day you're male, one day you're female, and then you can go back and all this other stuff. And there's no they, them, theirs, and all this other stuff. That doesn't exist, right? And
Correct.
So if you're saying that in the presence of my son, then you are espousing a religious belief that isn't at odds with our religious beliefs. And not only that, you're compelling the speech of that teacher who likely disagrees. 67% of Idahoans are Christian, according to the Pew Research Center. That's also in my blog post. Okay. So it stands to reason that a fair amount, maybe it's 67, maybe it's more, maybe it's 75% in the Caldwell School District of those staff members are Christians. And if they're real Christians and they actually practice their faith and adhere to the tenets of their faith, their beliefs, then they're going to be opposed to this. But yet the school is saying they have to use this language. Well, guess what? If that happens to any of you, whether in Caldwell or anywhere else in this country who's listening to this, if you're a teacher, and I have a potential case in Oakland, California, by the way, like this, if you're a teacher and you're being forced to use pronouns that you disagree with, and you're disciplined or fired because of it, please contact us, because that's a great, great First Amendment case. And we would love to take that on.
And we've also had instances, though. There's also instances, too. And, talking about sex ed curriculum, even if it's transgender or just inappropriate, whatnot, there are a lot of teachers that say that they won't teach these things. They won't talk about these things. So they take those teachers out of the classroom and bring someone from the outside in that will use that language for the specific, project or class or whatever. So those teachers, they still are getting around those teachers that are standing firm.
Yeah. And we need to put an end to that, because it's not just the teacher, it's also my child, right? If my child's there, what are you going to do? Take him out of every single class? You can't. Well, there's a whole host of problems with regard to that when it comes to my child, because he's supposed to be in the least restrictive environment under the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act, IDEA. You can't be constantly removing a special needs student. So they have a whole nother problem on their hands if they start to do that. But even if he weren't special needs, it's not realistic that you can take a child out of every single class and put him in some other class and keep moving him. Because then what if there's a transgender student in that class? You have to keep transferring him every day from class to class. And he's not going to be the only one with an objection. So, and then what about the problem, Taryn, if my son speaks up? Because we teach him that there's only a boy and girl and you can't change. People think that you can, but that's wrong. You know,
never God made you. That's how you are.
We've had those conversations with him. He's 11 now, you know, so we talked to him about, you know, there are some people that think you can do that, but that's not right. That's evil. Okay. Because that's not what the Bible teaches. Okay. And so, you know, in basic terms, we've explained this to him. So what if he speaks up and says, no, you're a boy? That's wrong. God doesn't like that. That's the simple language he would use. And what if he's disciplined or removed because of that? Well, now you've got another case on your hands, because now it's not just the free speech rights and the religious free exercise rights of the teacher, but now it's the student as well that you're infringing upon.
And you have a case on your hands, especially if that happens with Brian's son.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll just sue myself. I won't listen. I can't use donor funds for my own son, but I'll just do it myself. I'll do it pro se. I'll just do it on the side. I'll sue them anyway. So yeah, that's a message, by the way, if any of them are listening. I fully intend on suing the Caldwell School District if I hear that this has ever happened in the presence of my son, because it's not about locker rooms and restrooms. That's bad, but that's the extreme example. What they're trying to slip under the radar is, okay, because maybe they'll do a compromise policy. All right, we won't do locker rooms and restrooms, but we still have to use this language everywhere and anywhere. That's still indoctrination. And that is their primary objective, Taryn, because this is a religion to them. And I want to talk about that further, but I want to give Dawn a chance to say something, if she has something or if you have a question for her.
I do. I have a question for Dawn. And I want to talk about that with you in a minute, Brian, because it relates to the legal aspect of the religious part of this too. But Dawn, and I do also want to point out that Senator Chris Traykle, if I'm pronouncing his name, was there. And he said the same thing, that if this goes through, that there will be litigation that comes down the pipe for this school
and
district.
Our attorney general is now piping in about that very thing as well. So there were a series of tweets this week where Raul Labrador, who we hope to have the pleasure of working with soon, has proposed policy. And they're saying that this proposed policy appears to violate Idaho state law. So he is looking into this. We are looking into this. There are many others that are looking into this. Senator Chris Traykle is not the only senator that's working on it. There are a few others that are looking into it, as well as a few wonderful representatives that we have in the state. So this is not something that they're going to be able to easily sweep under the rug. And there are thousands of parents that are paying attention as well, at the very least.
And Dawn, I just have to let you give your two cents in this, because, you know, you're technically an outsider, right? You don't live directly in that district. You live close to it, and your daughter's homeschooled, but yet you still wanted to come and still wanted to show your support for those trying to, you know, get this taken away, not have this policy go through. Why was that so important for you?
Sure. I mean, all three of my kids are homeschooled, so I thankfully will never have to deal with this myself, but no children should have to deal with this. This is not about me and my children. I don't do what I do here just to protect my own interests and my own family's interests. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Number one, God has called us to do this work, and we're going to be obedient to that. Number two, there are other parents who aren't even aware that this is happening. I don't understand that personally, because we stay on top of so many things. I don't understand how it's possible to not know that this is happening, but I know that there are other people who are not aware, and we're fighting for those children. And we're fighting for the children whose parents have unfortunately bought into all this nonsense. And the kids are either being purposely indoctrinated, or maybe the kids don't even agree, but their parents are saying it's A-okay anyway. We're the voice of those who don't have a voice, essentially, or who don't yet realize that they need one. So I just feel it's the right thing to do. And regardless of whether it affects my children personally, I know that it's going to affect all other children. And it's a topic for later discussion, but my middle child was affected by this because this kind of nonsense was happening in New York and Connecticut back when she was not being homeschooled and when she was in public school for a length of time. So she was subject to this. And we had a lot of issues in our home because of all of that. And she has broke free from that. But she has a absolutely brilliant testimony that she could share one day with you, maybe, you know, we'll talk about that offline, but of how that affected her life and the depths of depravity that it brought her to and how she has risen above that thanks to what God has done in her life. And it's a really incredible story. And she wanted to share that, which is why she went with me to just say, hey, if you push this through, you have no idea what you're doing to these kids. You might think it's a great idea. It might sound like it's all love. It's all great. But let me tell you from my perspective what actually happened and how many kids I know all over the world, because we she has friends in Sweden and other places as well. Europe, unfortunately, has been pushing this kind of stuff for a really long time. And these kids are a wreck. And I mean a wreck. I don't mean just normal teenage issues like we all had. I mean, this is bad, bad business. And it's opening the door for all sorts of other, I hate to say it, but it is what it is, like demonic activity, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's no coincidence that everything that's been happening currently, and now we have, you know, the highest suicide rates in our adolescents, the most unhappy our kids have ever been. And this is just one of the many facets that play into that. And, you know, I want to ask
that's
you
not
guys,
because of, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but sure. You said suicide rates, they will try to tell you that that's because you aren't using the gender affirming language, that you aren't accepting transgenderism, but it's actually the opposite. Is when this is imposed on them, it's not natural, it's not normal, and it causes a lot of psychological trauma. So it's the acceptance of this new ideology into our culture that is actually causing the depression and the suicides.
And that's absolutely just the starting point, right? Look at Chloe Cole. Look at the hormones they're forcing on kids. Yes. Look at the surgeries they're forcing on kids. They're ruining lives. And I just saw a story, this is up in Canada, maybe about a week or so ago, of someone who went through all this same exact stuff. And now they're using the country, or I don't know if it's the state up there, the assisted suicide, because they're so miserable, they don't want to live anymore. And the same state that got them into this is now going to get them out of this eternally. Oh. That's horrendous and terrifying.
It is. It gives me chills. It gives me goosebumps. And yeah, the suicide rates for the kids that end up transitioning are through the roof too. Let's talk about the religious aspect of all of this, because it has legal implications. And I think that's what some people want to know, is how they fight this legally, because that's how they're going to get things done, right, in their school districts. In these public schools, administrators and staff members, teachers, they're not allowed to talk about God. They're not allowed to bring that up anymore in school. So why is it that this is legally allowed to be brought up? Are they coming at it from the grounds, and do they have grounds to say that this is not a quote unquote religious viewpoint? Do they have grounds in that? Is that hard to prove?
Well, that's what they're going to try to say, but they can't really prove it when all the evidence is laid bare. Here's the thing. You are allowed to talk about God per the Supreme Court in schools. It's just that it has to be like in a very neutral fashion, and along with all other religion. You know, if you're going to mention one religion, you mention others that you're teaching it. If you're allowed to have a religion class, for instance.
Yeah. Well, and history, you can't leave it out of history, right?
Right. You can point it out in history. So you can talk about God in the Bible. You can look at the Bible as a work of literature, but not as truth. Mm-hmm. You can't teach it that it's God's word, which we know that it is. You're not allowed to say that unless it's obviously a private, you know, parochial school or something like that. Mm-hmm. But in a public school, you can't. Anyway, it's clear this is a religion, because it's clear this is a religious point of view that they are inflicting on our children, because, like I said, it's in direct opposition to not only the Christian viewpoint with regard to sex and gender, but pretty much every major world religion that I can think of, except maybe Satanism, if you consider that a major world religion, other than that, pretty much every, you know, Muslims, Jews, you know, they don't agree with this. They don't believe that, you know, a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. So it's at odds with pretty much every major religious belief out there. And so to say that this is not an opposing religious belief to, for instance, Christianity is just mind-boggling. And how they think they're going to get away with it, I don't know. How they think it's okay to suppress the speech of a Christian who wants to speak out against it, but allow the speech of someone who wants to speak out in support of it, I don't know either, because the Supreme Court has consistently said that those kind of content-based speech restrictions are inherently illegal, violative of the First Amendment, the Free Speech Clause. It's in there again. It's in my, I keep referring back to my blog post, but I had all of this in my head. And so I just spilled it on the page the other night. And it was about 11 o'clock at night, I think, when I finished it. But I just want to actually read one excerpt that I think summarizes this point pretty well. It says, this is our 2023 reality, not just in Caldwell, not just in Idaho, but in public school classrooms all across the country. This is because for the ruling class who craft public school policy and curriculum, doctrines like transgenderism and critical race theory are central tenets of their faith, a form of secular modernism that has become anything but secular. It is so important to these officials that they are willing to face the public scorn of a crowd of angry parents 1,000 strong. They are willing to risk recall votes and lost elections in November. They are willing to risk the inevitable flood of litigation from the parents and their children who are harmed by these policies, potentially costing their cities and their taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. In short, they are willing to risk anything and everything in the name of indoctrination so they can become martyrs to a false doctrine whose primary objective is to infiltrate the minds of malleable youth in furtherance of a dark new evangelization. That's what's going on right here. So don't tell me this isn't about religion. This isn't a cult, because it is. It has all the markings of it.
I think that many people listening to this would agree with you. I guess my question is, will that hold up legally in court? To me, the safety of the bathroom and the locker room issue, I mean, that to me should be black and white issue in the court system.
You don't have a constitutional right to use your own bathroom, though. This is where people are missing the mark, though. Okay. You don't have a constitutional right to that. So it's sort of just like with the shots and jabs, right? Mm-hmm. They focus on the mandates and say, we should be free from mandates. Let's fight the mandates generally. This is a violation of our bodily autonomy or something like that. Yeah. Nuremberg Code. Listen, I agree with all of that. I do think it's a violation. I do think we have a right to be free, regardless of what our religious beliefs are, to be free from any kind of medical intervention forced upon us. I 100% agree with that, obviously. But there's nothing in the Constitution that says there can't be a mandate. There is something in the Constitution that says you cannot force someone to do it against their religion, because religion is the first clause in the First Amendment, actually the first two clauses. So it's so important to our founding fathers. It was so important in the framers of our Constitution that they put it in at the very beginning of the rights that should be guaranteed to us. The first two things they thought of, religion. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to go that route. It's not a matter of, do I think that it's safe or unsafe for someone to use a different bathroom or locker room? Of course it's unsafe. Of course it's inappropriate. Of course a girl shouldn't have to see a boy changing and vice versa, okay? And be subjected to that and be exposed to that, especially at that age. This, we're not just talking about high school. This could be middle school or anything, you know? I mean, yeah. They were one of the first ones to do it.
Absolutely.
So of course that's wrong, but show me in the Constitution where it says a school can't allow different sexes to change in the same room together. It's not in there. So what is in there is religious freedom. So we have to take that angle, because that's at the core of this. Again, they're trying to impose a religion on our children. They're trying to turn them away from our religious beliefs, our family's values, and change them into something else. It's literally about changing. The trans isn't just about transgender. It's about trans
humanism,
trans mind, trans. I'm trying to think of transmentalism. I'm trying to think of a word for it that describes. They're trying to change their minds, is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make them subjects of the state. That's what this is all about. And they've been doing it for decades on college campuses.
Yep.
Now they're doing it. They've done it in the media. They've done it in movies. They've done it on college campuses. Now where are they doing it? In elementary schools, in preschools. Do you see some of these books that are out in libraries for kids that they show kids graphic depictions, pornographic?
And drag queens are reading the stories.
Yeah.
And by the way, I will mention that the school board chair, her son is a drag queen who apparently is a guardian of children. And I believe they were present at that meeting as well. And they did have three teenagers speaking, saying why this is so important. And it's literally—
one of which had her same last name, who was likely related to her. But anyway.
Gotcha. That, which is important to know.
It is important to know. Mm-hmm. This is ideology that's being pushed by the chair. Whether or not anybody else is in agreement with it, she is bound and determined to get this pushed through.
And
that's clear, that's why she's run. I mean, I can't speak for the woman, but I believe this is exactly why she ran for this position.
And if it can happen in Caldwell, which, you know, you guys moved the organization to that area, you personally moved your families there, you know, organization aside, you moved your families there for a reason. And if it can happen there, it can happen to anyone. And Brian, I appreciate you, you know, telling us and summing that up, because I think people need to hear that. And I want to make one more point to that effect before we move on and get an update, because there is a little bit of an update to this story for people. That I, in my opinion, you tell me, I'm obviously not an attorney, is that it might not be as difficult to say that this is a religion as people might think, because, you know, as someone who was going through submitting religious exemptions of my own during the mandates, a religious belief is very broadly protected. I mean, you know, you could worship a tree over here, and that's technically protected, correct? Underneath.
You shouldn't, but it's protected.
Exactly. You shouldn't, but yes. But my point is that it might not be as difficult to prove this as some people might think originally.
Right. It's not. And even if we were to lose on the religious argument, which I don't think we will, the free speech argument is just as strong, if not stronger, because again, you're compelling speech. You're telling staff and students that they have to use a certain kind of language and that they can't say other things. That has been over and over and over again, going back to, I mean, in public schools, there's Tinker versus Des Moines school district, which was from 1969, where kids were coming into high school wearing black armbands to protest the Vietnam War. That's a seminal case. Anyone learns that in law school when you take constitutional law. But that's a First Amendment case, because that's free speech. That was an expression of speech. And they were trying to claim that somehow it was inappropriate and that you couldn't wear that in a school setting, but it wasn't being disruptive. It wasn't, and the court said, unless you can prove it's being disruptive to the learning environment, to the school environment, if it's causing some kind of major, you know, chaos in the classroom, then you have to allow free speech. And that goes to the teachers as well. And this is interesting, because now we've come to a point in history, I can't even believe this, in American history, where it's considered disruptive if you refer to someone by their biological sex, but not disruptive if you refer to someone by a different sex, or if a boy is wearing a dress in the classroom, that's not disruptive. But it's disruptive if you want to call a boy a boy. That's just like so backwards.
This is
what we're living in. This is our reality. I talked about this in the blog post too. You go read the blog post.
I'm going to link it. Don't you worry. I'm going to link it in the comments. Yes.
Listen, but isn't it wonderful? God's providence, though. I want to talk just for a second about God's providence, because you mentioned how we relocated the business here. We didn't choose Caldwell because we knew there was some big controversy and some big battleground. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a variety of reasons we ended up here. It does tend to be one of the more patriotic areas of the state that is in line with our values and our mission, but that's not really the only reason. We just didn't have, it wasn't like we knew we would be fighting this. And then look at what's happening. We're here. And just a few months later, this story that has made national headlines, this was featured on Fox News National, even. Mm-hmm. This has made national headlines, and it's happening right here where we're headquartered. God doesn't make mistakes.
No coincidences.
He doesn't make mistakes with people. He doesn't make mistakes with gender. He doesn't make mistakes with our business either. And this is why I believe this happened. We're here because there is a need to fight. This is the last battleground. And let me tell you, Taryn, they're not happy that we're here. they were very, I don't think most of them knew that we were headquartered in Caldwell when we announced
Surprise.
That. Yep. Some people in the crowd, actually, someone called me the other day and said, you know, I'd actually heard of your organization before. She didn't remember if she had heard it on Steve Dace or Daniel Horowitz or on Glenn Beck's show, one of the many shows we've been featured on. She knew about our organization. She said, but I didn't know you were here. I didn't know you were headquartered right here. So that had to take them by shock when they heard that there was this national nonprofit law firm that had done all this work. And they go on our website, I'm sure some of them did, and saw all the work we've done across the United States. And we're right in their backyard and watching them. That had to make them uncomfortable.
Although I will add in that this has already passed, this type of policy has passed in 27 school districts in the state of Idaho already and 14 charter schools. So this is spreading like a wildfire and it needs to be put out.
But I'm hearing Caldwell's is worse though, because worse than some of the other nearby school districts, probably not worse than Boise. But I'm hearing that someone called me from Middleton the other day, which is another more conservative area.
It was passed
under the cover of darkness in executive session, apparently. They discussed it in executive session. I don't know if that's where they voted on it, but that's where apparently they discussed it without even the public being present, which violates Idaho's open meeting law, by the way. We can get to that whole nother discussion another time. But, you know, this has been happening, but she even said to me, shit, but Caldwell's is worse. If you read the policy, it's a lot worse. And it's almost, again, it's compelling speech. It's compelling you to use these pronouns. It's you have to allow them into the bathroom and the locker room. Middleton's policy doesn't say that. It doesn't say
well,
they
what
can
about
use the
that other policy, Brian? We were there to actually speak on two different policies. I don't recall the policy number. I'm sure I could dig it up, but there was another policy that basically wanted to kick parents out of the conversation altogether. And that's
yeah, it says if they're being disruptive. And again, that's what they were citing. And they just passed that policy, I think, on Saturday or something. They amended the policy right before the meeting on Monday to say that they could basically shut down the meeting and kick parents out.
And not only that, they were including language saying that we'd be subject to potential misdemeanors for speaking out. I mean,
wait, how can the school district give you a misdemeanor? That doesn't make sense.
The school district can't make criminal law. It's a farce. It's ridiculous. I don't know who's advising them, but I'd like to meet them in a courtroom someday because it's going to be fun. they are absolutely out of their minds doing this. The school district can't create new statutes in the penal code. You can't now say this is a misdemeanor. You legislators have to do that. You know this. This is like civics 101.
Yes.
Legislators are the body that make laws. That's why they're called lawmakers, right? They pass the law, and then who signs it into law? Anyone? Anyone? The governor, right? Children in the back there. Maybe I should go up there next time in speech and give them a civics lesson. But that's what happens, and then the legislature can override it. Usually, in most states, by a two-thirds or three-quarters majority, depending on where it is. Okay, they can override the veto. So there's a process here how a law gets passed. It doesn't get passed by a school board on Saturday evening or something, you know, to say that now you're going to be arrested. And I think the cops would quite frankly laugh at that because they seemed, my impression, Dawn, is they were on our side.
Right. I had the same impression from speaking with them as well.
Well, before we wrap up the episode, tell us, there was a little bit of an update, another meeting that has taken place since then, and they weren't nice to the parents, were they?
Well, I have heard, I was not there last Monday, so I have to say this is unconfirmed. I have heard that they about 60 parents came to this one. This was not an open meeting, technically. It was a work session, but I think they removed the policy from the agenda for that work session just to try to keep the crowds away. Right. But at least 60 people still showed up, and they wouldn't let them into the building because it was a work session. So they stood outside though, just to show their presence that even at the working sessions, we are there, we're watching you. I think that was great. I think people need to continue to show up at the next meeting. Supposedly there's a rumor that they're not going to hold any more public meetings on this policy anymore.
Yeah, because they said before we broke, they said they were postponing the meeting and they were going to reschedule it. And I heard rumors, even from the police officers, that they were going to host it at the high school because the seating capacity for that was about 2,000, I believe. Whereas the seating capacity in that room was what, like 75 people maybe? They had an overflow room that held maybe 125. I don't know, I'm making up numbers here, but it wasn't a lot of people. So the point is, if 1,200 people showed up and only, you know, 200 people or whatever the number is were allowed into the building, there were an awful lot of people that were turned away and standing outside, many of which, you know, chose to stay, and they were planning on returning to this meeting. And they overheard that we said, well, because my church got involved, and they said, well, we're going to have 5,000 people show up to the next meeting. Let's see how that works out. And they literally issued a statement saying that they're scared of us. So for their safety, that they're not going to hold any more meetings like this. That's essentially the gist of what they were going for.
Very interesting. Well, thank you guys for providing your firsthand experience from this meeting. I think that's important, giving us an update on all of this and, you know, showing people that your voice matters and that it can make a difference and that you should not back down. Parents should continue to put the pressure on and continue to stand up to for their children and to these just insane policies that are trying to be pushed onto our children. And so I commend you both for coming at that as parents and for We the Patriots, you know, also helping people take a stand.
Thanks, Taryn. Thanks for having us.